Hi, I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
And we are small business owners in Northwest Ohio. We thought we'd start a podcast. Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Hello, everybody. Today, you guys are going to be enlightened by our guest. He is amazing. And his name is Jeff Lamb. Jeff.
Well, I was waiting to see who the amazing person was. It's just me over here.
I know, Jeff. But just like, don't you love his voice?
Yes, I know.
I've had it for years.
Have you? Yeah. I mean, that was one of my questions. Like, did you have to train it to sound like that at all?
No, actually, it's my dad was a broadcaster, mm-hmm. and I sound a lot like him. Mm-hmm. When I listen to old tapes of him, sometimes I'm thinking, is that him or is it me? My mom loves to tell the story. I was just over two and a half, and I was a pretty good talker. Somebody came to the house. They were waiting to go downstairs. My dad had a studio in the basement, and they were waiting to go down and do whatever business they had to do with Dad. And so I'm talking to the guy on the couch. My mom's in the kitchen. She's hearing this conversation. And the guy's asking me all these questions, and I'm answering them. Finally, the guy goes, say, how old are you?
I'll be three on my next birthday.
That's cool.
But yes, I always had it. It's followed me around.
Hmm. Yeah. So for our listeners who do not know who Jeff Lamb is, why don't you go ahead and tell them a little bit about who you are, what you do, and
well, I've been in radio for a long, long time, since about 1980. I did my first radio program up in Flint, Michigan, and it was called Buffalo Dick's Radio Ranch. And I was just hanging around the lobby of the radio station every day, and apparently the general manager wanted his seat back in the lobby. So he finally called me and said, what are we going to do with you? He said, I understand you do voices. And I said, yeah. He says, well, I've got an idea. He says, I'm thinking about doing a show Saturday morning with like Yogi Bear and Boo Boo introducing records, and we'll call it Cartoons. Because it's the Motor City. Flint is the mini Motor City. And, you know, Tunes, it's a radio station playing tunes.
I
said, that's stupid. And this guy offered me a job, and that's what I said to him. I said, that's kind of dumb. He said, well, what do you have in mind? I said, I don't know. I said, tell you what. I said, let me go home. I've been kicking this idea around in my head, and let me just put something together. I'll bring it into you. He says, yeah, okay, good, because now I'm out of his lobby, right? So I went home, and I wrote and recorded this show, and it was called Buffalo Dick and his sidekick Buffalo Chip. And his sister Cow Patty and his brother Buffalo Peter, and they were all you know, it's a western, it's kind of a takeoff of the old Howdy Doody, and it was a little earthy. Brought the tape into him, he listened to it, and he's dying laughing. He said, "Can you do that every time?" I said, "What?" He says, "Can you make it funny like that every time?" I said, "I don't know, it's the first one." He said, "Tell you what," he said, "you put five in the can." He says, "And if they're all as good as that one, we'll put it on, but we're going to air it Saturday night, not Saturday morning." I said, okay. So I went home, did five more of them, and then it was on. And I wasn't getting paid at first. I was just doing it. And I was trading it for commercial time. So the show went on to win a Billboard Award for best locally produced show in the country in all markets.
That's crazy. Wow.
And then I sent some letters out to some syndicators, and it got syndicated, picked up by Westwood One. And they had it in about 100 cities around the country. And it was Buffalo Dick's Radio Ranch.
Did you get paid then?
Yes.
Can you do one of the voices?
Yeah.
Well, there's Buffalo Dick and his sidekick, Buffalo Chip. He was just a little squirt. And then there was Patrolman Skip. He used to bring safety films for the kiddies. And it was always somebody getting hit by a car. And he didn't look both ways. And just had this awful smash. And the kids, yay! And it was a fake live gallery. I went to the junior high school that I went to, and I went to the choir director. And I said, your kids are used to speaking in unison, or singing in unison. I said, I need some kids to say some things for me. And in unison. She said, oh, okay. So I set up a couple microphones, and I would say, howdy hi, Buffalo Dick. And the kids would go, howdy hi, Buffalo Dick, all together. I just had a whole list of things for them to say. And that's where I got my live gallery kids.
That is really cool.
And, you know, you work on a budget. That's what you do. You get clever. So anyway, then Pete Cavanaugh, who had hired me here, brought me down here in 1990 to do a morning show with Mark Benson. Mm-hmm. And my job then was to do voices and not be Jeff. Because he had hired Jeff once at IOT in 1983. And I was doing afternoons. And I was here for probably less than a cup of coffee. It was a terrible show. I think I lasted a month, maybe.
Why was it so terrible? Why do you...
Well...
Live is just hard, like...
Well, not even that so much as I was driving home from work one day and I saw that Tiny Tim was performing at the Radisson. Mm-hmm. So I stopped in and I invited him on the show. So I had him on the show the next morning. Now, Tiny Tim... Mm-hmm. Tiptoe
that's
through...
That's the one I can... That's
oh,
the
she
one
can
I
do can, it. Listen, go ahead.
I don't know if I can right now.
Do it.
I can do it. Tiptoe through the tulips.
That's him. Okay, now picture that on WIOT. It wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, but yeah. Come on, that's over. Funny.
Yeah, but no, then I start taking calls on the air, and people are like, get this jerk off the air. He sucks. Talking about Tiny Tim.
People
like,
are mean.
Hey. You know, and I'm hanging up on him and going to the next one, and it wasn't good. And hey, now, come on, guys. So there was that, and then the final straw was, remember Elaine, the bag lady in Toledo?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I worked at the bag house.
I'm not
always
from
thought
here.
That well, she was, yes. Hollywood casting couldn't have picked a better bag lady. Mm-hmm. And she was a character. Apparently, she had come from some money, and their house had burned down, and so she didn't like being indoors, and she started living on the street. This is all the legend of Elaine. So anyway, I had this Toledo bag lady hunt. I wanted to go interview her. So I'm running around with a tape recorder, and I finally found her, and I had to give her a pack of cigarettes to talk to me. And I had a song about Elaine, the famous bag lady, I wrote, and did this whole Elaine the Bag Lady tribute. And it nobody thought it was as funny as I did, apparently, because
I vaguely remember that.
People got really offended.
What year was that?
That was 83.
Yeah, because
that was my... Hit the door.
That might have been because I was a junior in high school. I do.
Oh,
like they didn't. They let you go. Because...
Oh yeah, yeah. That was it, Jeff. That's it. We just can't. We can't.
I mean, between the bag lady and Tiny Tim, it's just took its toll.
People weren't ready for him. It's fine.
Right, exactly.
They were wrong.
So anyway,
do you still have that tape?
No. But then he put me in with Terry Knight. Terry Knight was manager of Grand Funk Railroad. He was. Terry Knight in the pack. He used to be on CKLW back in the day. So he brought Terry Knight into town, and Terry lived with me for a month, and we just tried to come up with stuff to do a morning show because he figured he could use me somehow. He just wasn't sure what yet. After him living there a month, the only bit he ever came up with was the Loch Ness Monster is not Nessie, it's Lockie, because that's not his head. He's floating on his back. That was his whole... The whole contribution he had.
You think he would have had more.
You'd think.
Yeah.
Especially, but he had some great stories. We tell me some great stories. But anyway, so that didn't work out. But he brought me down here in 1990, hooked me up with Mark, and I was to do nothing but voices. So I did Vinny Boom Boom Cappuccino, but he came late. I was doing all these other voices. I was still Jeff doing the sports. And Pete finally came in one morning, just before I was to go on the air doing the sports, and he said, Jeff, I don't want to hear Jeff doing sports. I want a character. I don't care who you get. I don't care what you do. I just want a character. And if you don't, you can pack your stuff and head back to Flint. How about that?
Did that hurt your feelings? Like, you don't be yourself, just be someone else?
No, not really, because
okay,
I get it. I suck.
All right.
So anyway,
but
as a character, I do very well.
Okay.
I never run out of things to say as a character. Mm-hmm. They just develop and become this other part of me.
Okay.
So this is how Vinny was born. We're starting. Mark says, let's check out sports. And so I hit the Gillette theme. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just went, good morning, Toledo. And I'm just stalling, trying to think of a name for this guy. I wasn't copying Robin Williams. I was trying to come up with a name. So, good morning, Toledo. Vinny Boom Boom Cappuccino, let's talk sports. Oh! And then the character was born. I hear in my head, he's just a rough guy, tough guy, smart aleck, you know. But anyway, so that was Vinny. He was born. But then I did the prize, man. We always had prize packs chosen especially
this.
For
I
you. So there was the prize, man. And then at one point, I was doing Rain Man, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And we ran him for governor. And we had campaign posters all over. It was right in Rain Man. Yeah.
Like a
and
driver.
It was all kinds of stuff we were doing. I mean, all these campaign promises, like, if I'm elected, the first job's going to be hard. We're going to have to move the governor's mansion because I can't leave the yard. And just a whole bunch of and that offended somebody.
Oh.
So we got a cease and desist letter from MGM. So I can no
Are
longer.
Are we going to get one now?
No, well, I could no longer do Rain Man.
Oh.
In that context. So I just changed his name. Mm-hmm. He became Philip, the magnificent superhero of the new millennium, in his peach and seafoam jammies with the feet in him and his towel cape.
Mm. Cape.
Yeah.
Cape with the p.
Yeah. I said that to Philip, the magnificent, in his cape. But he would go around wreaking havoc on evildoers everywhere. That was his job. So we'd have these little adventures with him, and then I had the former heavyweight champ of the world, Gus Booty Kicker Washington Lincoln Carver Brown. I gave him a head fake left and come around with a bell ringer to the side of his head. Bam, I hit him good. So that Gus Booty Kicker was another character I did.
But I'm having deja vu.
There were like 50 different characters that I did over the course of the show. There was Thomas of a Teeth and Asian Eyeballs. Now, Thomas was the guy that was always on a phone when we come back from a break. And he'd be saying, Paul, no, listen, Paul, you can do this. I know, I got confidence in you. And Mark's like, Jeff, we're out. Who was that with the character?
Paul.
Oh, no.
No, Thomas with a T.
Okay.
He says, Thomas, we're on the air. get out. We're on the air. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, Paul, I got to go. Bye. He goes, who is that? Paul McCartney. I was just giving him some help. He goes, you had Paul McCartney on the phone and you hung up on him? Well, you told me we were on the air. It was always one of those things. So we ended up doing a concert for Thomas, where he just invited a bunch of his friends. And we worked with the promotions department, and they lined up all the contemporaries of the day, Eddie Vedder and the guy from Poison.
Brett Michaels?
Yes, mm-hmm. Brett Michaels.
Oh, I love Brett Michaels.
Yeah, well, I got a funny Brett Michaels story. He came into the studio, and we're sitting there, and I'm in this little booth, and Mark was in the big studio. And I'm in the booth with all my carts and, you know, doors opening and closing and all the sound effects. And so Brett's sitting right next to me. And we're getting ready to go on the air, and he pulls out a needle. And I'm like, dude, really? Seriously? He says, I got diabetes. This is insulin. It's okay. I went, all right, rock star.
You never know.
Right. I made an assumption. My bad. But, yeah. But anyway, so we had all these rock stars lined up, and they were phoning in saying, Thomas, I can't wait for the concert in the Hollywood Bowl. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be – and it was all pre-set up. Then we went out to California. We didn't have to. We could have done everything with sound effects and theater of the mind. But we went to California. We're broadcasting live from Casey Kasem's studio.
That's cool.
That was another guy I did, Casey Kasem.
Yes, I remember
Coming
this.
Coming up, a
I
story remember. About a grossly disfigured man living in the south of France.
Wow. You sound just like him.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, but, I love it.
So anyway, that we did this broadcast out there, and then we had the follow-up. They made the calls on the same day when they called in, but the follow-up was like, Thomas, that concert was unbelievable. When you lit that guitar on fire and smashed it on stage, holy cow. And this is, you know, these are real rock stars that were playing along. And they would do it back in the day. You could put that kind of stuff together because local radio was important because you had all the record companies kissing your booty to get the record played. So they'd bring you stacks of things to give away, CDs. They'd give you T-shirts. They'd give you bumper stickers. They'd pay for all kinds of things for you to get the music played. That was how the game worked. And they'd get stars to call in and do interviews. Mm-hmm. And that stuff just isn't available now because local radio is so unimportant anymore.
Because that was one of our questions. We were going to ask you what you thought.
Corporate radio has ruined local radio. They just, IoT was such a, at one point it was the, we had the number one highest rated morning show in the country for a rock station. And the station won best rock station in the country. And it was just a huge force to be reckoned with. Now, I think they've got maybe one local employee on the air.
So do you think...
Everything else is voice tracked or coming from someplace else.
Yeah.
And you're saving money, you big corporate monster giant.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it funny that when Fraser Reamed owned the station, I bet you we had 80 employees in the building, from sales staff to office workers to we had a promotions director, an assistant promotions director, a program director, an assistant program director. Everything was assistants and mm-hmm. a lot of people working there. Yet Fraser was still able to be a millionaire.
Hmm.
And all these people were paying for their food and paying for their homes and putting clothes for their kids. Everybody was doing okay.
Yeah.
The corporations came in and they paid way too much for the stations because they just wanted to get their mitts on them. So they came in and they paid 3 and 4 or 5 times the value of the station just to get it, because a lot of people didn't want to sell them. But how do you walk away from that?
Mm-hmm.
So they paid way too much for them. So now the Cumulus and iHeart, they're not even paying the interest. They can't even afford to pay the interest, mm-hmm. and they're just too big to let fail.
So how do you fix that?
I don't know. It's just becoming more and more irrelevant
mm-hmm.
every day. And
mm-hmm.
it's sad. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Very sad.
But these have helped, too, these cell phones.
Yeah.
I used to sit on my porch, and I lived on Lewis Avenue, and I'd watch cars go by. Nobody can travel without talking to somebody now. Nobody just drives
yep.
around by themselves.
I have a porch, too. I watch everybody. Always, yep.
And you don't. I can't tell you how few times I heard a car go by with a radio playing. Everybody is... on
That's
the phone
a good
now.
Point.
Or listening to their own music on the phone.
It's true.
Yeah.
I used to just listen to IoT all the way to work, and now you're right.
That was it.
I never thought of that.
That makes me
wow.
sad.
That is sad.
So that didn't
I'm not going to do that anymore.
No, I'm not either. We cannot talk to each other anymore on the way to work.
Oh,
yeah,
my
that'll
gosh.
Last about till you get out in the car on your way home. Right.
But when you think about it that way, it's just eye opening, you know, of how things.
Well, when I got into radio, it was. Such a cool industry. It was awesome. And when you went to do something, it meant something. You'd draw a crowd. You'd sell a remote at a car dealership, and people would actually come, and they'd sell a few cars that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now they'll send an intern that's not even on the air, give him a cell phone, and he'll say, "Hi, this is Joe Jones. We're talking with Pete Elmer, the owner of this great dealership."
Mm-hmm.
And he'll talk, and if it goes over a minute, they cut him off, and they edit it up at the station, and then they air it. Nothing's live, and it's just, it's...
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
let's figure out how to get it back to the way it was, because those were good
days.
I know, they were good old days.
Well, one day, I was going to do a bungee jump. First of all, corporate radio would never approve that. They'd never sign off on that, because, you know, you could get hurt, and we could get sued.
Right.
Anyway, so I go to do this bungee jump. There was a place, Angola and maybe Holland,
Savannah. Yeah, where the go-karts are.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
So they had a bungee jump thing set up there. So we announced that I was going to bungee jump there. So I go up and I look, and in every direction on the four roads in that intersection, there were cars. They all came to see me die. But that's the way radio worked back
right.
then. You could do something like that. One of the smartest things I ever saw, Dennis Lemon was the general manager at 94.5 when I was there, XKR. And he wanted to do a demonstration. He had some advertisers that were kind of dragging their feet. And so he went to one, I think it was Banner. And he walked in and he said, "Why have you been on with us for a while?" He goes, "We don't think radio works." He says, "Really?" He says, "I'll bet you $1,000 that I can have your parking lot full in 5 minutes with one announcement." And he says, "You're on." So he picks up the phone. He goes, Renegade Remote, Banner Mattress. And so we get on the air and go, "Dennis Lemon is at Banner Mattress right now, and he's giving away $1,000 cash. You've got to get there right now, though." That was the announcement. The parking lot was packed. Traffic was jammed up. They had to call the cops to direct traffic around this thing. The guy gave Dennis $1,000, and Dennis gave it to somebody. Just picked a person at random, gave him $1,000.
That's cool.
But radio works. It's just you can't just say, mm-hmm. we're open, and we're open. You've got to have a reason for people to come to your business. Yeah. You can't just...
Call to action of some sort.
You can't say we're just open. You got to have a loss leader. You got to have something, some kind of a bait pile. You know, when I do karaoke, I used to make cookies, and I'd bring them in as my bait pile. And for the man cave, when I was broadcasting from home, I'd make a pie, I'd bake something. I always had something out, and it was a bait pile. And it was just so people would come. And they did.
And they do. They tell us about the man cave, because every time I've been there, it's packed full of people, and you got some good bands in there. And
well, that started when I first moved into the house that I'm leaving now, but I'm in again. I had this great big room. It was like 30 by 30. And I had been talking with the girl that I was living with. I said, you know, I'm not on the radio anymore, but I got an idea for a show. What do you think about me getting my equipment together, going to a bar, and doing a live show with a live band and broadcasting it on the radio live? She said, that's a pretty good idea. And then when I got thinking about it, I got thinking, you know, you're going to get drunks. You're going to get drunks in the bar. They're going to be swearing. You got that $10,000 fine we were talking about. And I got thinking, well, you know, if I have it at the house in that little room, that'll be a smaller show, but to be my drunks. I can control them. You know, right. I'm not going to have somebody that's been drinking there since 5 in the afternoon, you know. So we moved the show to the house, and we started bringing bands in. And it just did really, really well. And we aired it Saturday night from 9 to midnight. I bought 3 hours on IoT. And the show was the number one show in its time slot. It was doing very well. The station was getting about $30,000 a year from me. I brought sponsors in. And so I was making some money. Everything was going really good. And then they switched GMs, or station operators. And, of course, when you have something like that, the new people... They want to kind of get their smell on things. You know, they want to, I did this, and I changed that. Yeah. So they decided to fix the man cave, which wasn't broken. And she didn't like me playing classic rock. She said, I don't want you to play as much classic. And I was doing exclusive classic rock, which didn't embarrass the format because all that music was first heard on IoT. Yeah, and they still play ZZ Top. And now IoT is mostly a classic rock station because there's nobody putting out new rock. And I didn't realize that till I was riding in a car with somebody listening to, he had IoT on, and I don't listen to IoT anymore. And it's a good station now. I mean, it's the music is
classic,
very palatable for me because I'm an old guy and I like all that.
Those are the good decades.
Yeah. But so anyway, it was she wanted to change things. And I said, well, are you at least going to give me the music? She goes, no, you got to get the music yourself. And, of course, as you know, there's the radio versions of songs, and then there's the songs that everybody else can get. Well, if you're not going to give me the radio versions of songs, there might be some F-bombs dropped in these songs. She said, well, I said, tell you what, let's just wrap it up at the end of the month. That'll be that. She said, okay. So I took the show off the air. It took me about a month to get equipment, but I got enough equipment to do a radio show from my house, and I started broadcasting online. And we still had a lot of people coming in to do the show, and I don't think the numbers were as good as when it was on IoT, but it was still working. It still gave the bands some exposure. It gave them a nice audio track to send around. And then Alan Block found out about my station, and he said, I want that. He said, that can be very disruptive to television and to radio. He said, I want that. So he bought the station. I sold it to him for $50,000. I had maybe $8,000 in the equipment. He wasn't buying advertisers. So he bought the station, moved it down to Louisville, and he hired the two DJs that I had on the air, Jerry Geisen and Mickey Morgrat. And it lasted for about a year. And then it sat there doing nothing. And it was just in the basement. So I called and I said, what are you doing with that station? They said, nothing. I said, I'd like to buy it back. He says, okay. So I gave him $5,000. I got the whole thing back.
Nice.
Then you made a little bit of money. And then
yeah. So I had it on the air. And then COVID hit. And I had just gotten married. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I'm really bored out of my mind. I said, I'm looking at Facebook and you can't flip a page without seeing somebody with a Jew's harp or a harmonica or a guitar and a Venmo sticker in the corner. Everybody is out of work. Yep. All these musicians want to play. And I said, now I bet you if I brought the Man Cave back and made it a video show this time, they'd come out and play. And so then I found a building, figured out how much it was going to cost to get this building every month. So then I went and got sponsors to pay for it. I always had a problem making money with the show because I don't pay the bands. So I don't want to be sitting back there smoking cigars, you know, lighting with $100 bills that I'm making when they're making nothing. Mm-hmm. So I was retired and I'm old and I was just bored. So I thought, as long as they cover my costs, I'll do this again. So I put it back on the air. That was about 2000. It's been on since then. And I've written a book about the Man Cave. And in the back of the book, I listed all the bands that have been, I've got over 1,000 bands that have been on the show.
Yeah, you've got a lot.
From the beginning till now. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's
it was
really
fun. I was on the
show.
Yeah,
Lori was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. Well, and what's really nice is that you have the video.
Mm-hmm.
That so you might not get paid in cash, but you do get paid to be on the Man Cave.
Well, you do. You mm-hmm. What would it cost
awesome
you to get a
video
and audio?
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it's great sound and great exposure, and it's
and it gives
all
you
over,
something
so
that you can send to a bar, so yeah. They're not buying a pig and a poke, because bars don't like to hire a pig and a poke either. Just like I don't when somebody right. calls and goes, "Hey, right. dude, can I be on your show?" Hey, I'd love to see your work. Can you send me something? Right. And most of them say, oh, dude, no, I don't have anything right now. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I do. And they send me a video that their that drunk they're wife held up a phone in the back of a bar, and the music sounds like. And I'm like, I still don't know what you sound like, but thank you. That's really.
Well, so what year did you have Greta Van Fleet on?
Greta Van Fleet was on in 2013.
Okay, so that was because they looked pretty young in that picture.
They were. They, like, they weren't Greta Van Fleet yet. They
right.
were, but they weren't.
And they weren't great.
They weren't discovered. No, they were.
They weren't.
They were a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the drummer's mother used to live across the street from me.
She did.
Growing up, I used to babysit for her sometimes.
Oh, you did. Okay.
And she called me and she says, "Jeff, my boy's in a band, and I know you have this show. Could we get them on your show?" And I said, "Sure, Lori." So they drove down from Frankenmuth in a blizzard. They did the show, and I had a nice little crowd there that night, and they were all just blown away by these kids, and especially the
singer,
the lead singer, mm-hmm. with his, you know, apparently he sounds like Aerosmith. That's what he thinks.
I think they relate to Led Zeppelin.
I know. But it's obvious there.
He tells
people in interviews. Yeah, he tells people in interviews that I was, we were more influenced by Aerosmith than Led Zeppelin.
Oh, no. Yeah,
which Robert Plant thought was very funny,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah.
I bet he did.
But anyway, yeah, so they were on, and they're great kids. We had a good time with them, and then they stayed at the Holiday Inn Express on Navarre and went home the next day.
Well, yeah. That's interesting. So if who would you like to have come on the Man Cave that hasn't been there? If you could have anybody dead or alive, who would it be? Come on the Man Cave.
The Beatles.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I actually wouldn't mind Greta Van Fleet coming back now.
Right.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Before and after show.
And that's the thing. So that's what I don't like about people who make it big.
They should. Let's call Lori.
No, I'll tell you what ticked me off was call Lori and I said, I'm trying to start a talk show. Mm-hmm. The Man Cave Talks. Where I'm going to interview people. And the first person I interviewed was Rob Paulson. And he was on Buffalo Dick with me. He did voices with me. I went to high school with him. Well, Rob then went out to California, and he became Pinky of Pinky and the Brain. He became Raphael of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was Yakko of the Animaniacs. He was Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron. Huh. He just, on. And you look at any cartoon at the end, there's Rob Paulson. So anyway, I did this interview with Rob Paulsen for the first one. And then I had Greta Van Fleet lined up. And I had Rob do this. He was, oh, I love Greta Van Fleet. He said, I loved going up to Frankenmuth, great town. And he just had really nice things to say. And then I found this pitcher who was, or no, it was a coach of, I think, the San Diego. He's sitting on a bench talking about Greta Van Fleet. And so I had that clip. And I had it all ready to play for these guys, had it all set to go. And I get a call or a text the day the show starts. And we're all set now for 2 o'clock today. I went, perfect. They said, now, you know, it's just going to be Danny the drummer, right? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, it's just going to be Danny the drummer. They don't do the whole group anymore for interviews. And I went, yeah, you know, when they wanted to be on my show, I didn't right. just say, send me Danny the drummer. I said, mm-hmm. yeah, send me the whole band.
Right.
And I put them on. I said, that's...
Stinks.
That, so yeah. Danny, did you say no?
Or
did
I, you, I blew it up.
Yeah.
But it... And I don't even know if the kids knew about it.
Yeah, but poor Danny the drummer.
It might have just been...
I know, poor Danny.
No, it might have just been the...
Manager,
the agent, whoever it was that I spoke with that didn't even take it to the kids. Just said, Danny, I need you to do this. And
yeah, because I would be shocked that the kids wouldn't do that.
If they had time, I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
You never know.
I don't
never
know. But, you know, I did tell her. I said, you know, it's funny. I bet if Jimmy Kimmel called, the whole band would show up.
That's said, so right.
It's just basically a frame of reference. But, yeah, so.
So are we going to ask Jeff for our, well, first of all, how do musicians get on your show? Like how, give us some information on how to find it all, the good things.
Well, they can text me online
on
Facebook. They can find me there. Mm-hmm. That's where the show is, too. You can see it on Facebook and YouTube, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
That's live then. And then the replay is immediately after. Mm-hmm. It's available forever after that.
Okay.
But, yeah, just send me a message saying you'd like to be on. But be sure you have something where I can see what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of rap music, so I'm probably not going to have a rap band on. Just not. You know, it's just it doesn't fit the deal. Like,
And
you got to understand that because there are a lot of bars that you can't work in either if you're a rap artist.
Mm-hmm.
They just formats.
Sure.
So I'm looking basically for classic rock bands, rock bands, country bands. Just about anybody's welcome. But I really want them to be good.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, are you going to ask him our go-to question?
Sure. Jeff?
We didn't prep him because he may not.
We didn't. So off the cuff. Well, come on. It's Jeff Lamb. Why are you our cool friend?
Why am I your cool friend?
Yeah.
Well, I've had all my shots and my teeth don't come out.
Ba-dum-bum.
Pretty proud of that.
Yeah,
of
that's
course.
It.
66, and I got most of my teeth.
That's good. Yeah. That's a start.
Well, I don't know. I didn't realize I was cool, but thank you.
I think you're very cool.
Well, mm-hmm. You've lived a sheltered life.
She has. She has. She didn't.
I didn't
even know who Weezer was when she came here. She didn't.
Okay.
Know.
Well, first of all, I'm not from here.
Okay. So all right. That's irrelevant.
This is what I try to say, because I've been in the music industry since I was little. And when you're performing, you're concentrating on what you're learning.
Right.
You don't necessarily have the time to listen to the radio and listen to a bunch of songs. You're given songs to learn, and you spend your time doing that.
Exactly. I can't tell you how many times people have said, do you know such and such a DJ that worked at this bar? I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Why? Everybody knows. Because I was working the same nights he was.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go out and party with
him. Okay.
Jimmy Buckets over here.
Right.
You know,
so there's songs I know that I don't even know the artist because I wasn't able to.
You weren't smart enough to ask.
Yeah. I didn't really care. I liked the song and I wanted to sing it. So that's what I did.
Hey, let me flip the question around. Why am I your cool friend? Why did you decide to be my friend?
Oh, he's flipping it.
He is flipping it.
I just flipped it.
For me, it's his voice.
It's his voice,
nostalgic to me.
Yeah, very cool voice.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'm nostalgic.
I'm sorry.
I'm an oldie now. I'm an oldie but goodie.
You're vintage.
Vintage. Yeah, we're into the vintage stuff in case you didn't know.
Badly used.
No, I met Jeff because I used to DJ.
Oh.
And I knew of you because I was a DJ, but I had never really.
Because we were working the same time. Yeah.
But we were working kind of the same circuit and same bars here and there, different days. And then My daughter was introduced to him and was in your karaoke contest.
Mm-hmm. And she won.
She did win. And that is when we first became friends and built a relationship. And yeah.
Do you have any tips for people wanting to get into the radio industry?
Don't.
Yep. I knew you were going to say that. No, you know what? You guys, we're going to fix it. Let's try to fix it.
You know what, though? They've painted quite a corner for mom and pops.
Yeah.
Let's just say hypothetically that the big corporations fail, and now all these radio stations are available. Mm-hmm. So we'll just say Joe Jones decides to buy a radio station, goes and buys it, might even get a good price on it, maybe less than it was worth by a lot. So now he's got a radio station. Well, first of all, there's nobody that's trained to be on them anymore. Nobody's mm-hmm. training anybody. Mm-hmm. There used to be program directors that would have meetings and they would work to coax you along, and you'd have meetings and they'd say, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong, let's fix this, let's fix that. But they would teach you. There was a process to it. Nobody's teaching that anymore, except right over here, Chris is. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn, you can. But the other problem is, now you got a radio station. Okay, now we got a couple guys that are green, ready to work for you. You don't have a tower anymore. The radio, the big companies sold all their towers, and now they're leasing space on it because they needed a quick fix to help with the interest payments they had to take care of. So they did stupid things like sell the towers, and now they're leasing space on it. They owned them. They owned them. It was not an expense every month. It was not an expense. Now it's an expense. And it makes your station worth a whole lot less because whoever buys it has to either construct a new tower and put their transmitter there or lease the space from AT&T or Yahoo or whoever bought the towers. So, I mean, they really, if they were trying, I don't think they could have damaged radio more than they did. And that's why I don't work in radio anymore. Nobody will hire me because they hear me say things like this. But it's true. I don't.
All right.
I have no interest in working in today's radio. Now, if we could go back, back when it was fun.
That's what we should try.
And back when it mattered.
Yeah.
And back when, it was a respected profession.
And back when concert tickets were like $15 instead of $1,500. That'd be
absolutely
good too.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing.
Well, why can't we just fix it?
I don't know. Let's make a plan when he leaves. When we get off the air, we'll chart. We'll make a plan.
We're gonna make a plan.
Well, if you can fix it, you'll be very, very rich, because there'll be a lot of people really glad you did, and they'll give you a lot of money for that. But I think to fix it, you gotta get a time machine and go back and never invent cell phones. Mm-hmm. Don't invent computers, because computers put a lot of radio people out of work too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like the radio station I had was all automated. Once a week, I'd sit down and do the log for the upcoming week. That took me about 15 minutes because I had a computer that did that for me. And then I would send the log over, and this computer now ran the log and ran all the songs and the commercials and the bumpers and all the promos. Yeah. I didn't have to do anything. And I got lazy too.
Well, yeah. I mean, it saves a lot of time, and we need time in our lives, but...
Well, part of the problem was I picked a station that was classic hits. So that could be, you may not remember CKLW back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But CKLW was the station. It was cool. And they would play the Jackson 5 into the Rolling Stones into Johnny Cash. If it was a hit, they played it. And they hadn't split off into formats quite yet when they were doing that. So it was a top 40 station, which meant any of the top 40 songs and... Mm-hmm. Those lists included B.J. Thomas and the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and the Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. And so they did all that. So that's what I was – my station was playing more classic rock than – but I was playing a lot of 70s and 80s music. And it was cool music. But the problem was the people it was geared to, the people my age, they don't understand the delivery system. What button is it on my radio?
Oh.
No, it's not. It's not a button on your radio. You do it with Bluetooth. Bluetooth? I don't want Bluetooth. No, it's on your phone, and then you send it to the car, and you hit then it's that button on you, and or just on your phone hit this.
Yeah. Ah. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
So I couldn't. I'd put it on their phone for them, and they'd forget it was there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was really, really hard to get people to tune in. It was the same show that I did when we were getting ridiculously good ratings. We were the number one morning show for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was the same characters, same music.
I think we need those characters back. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we need.
I miss them too. Because they live in my head. They do.
People want to laugh. Yes. I mean, I have different personalities, but I don't necessarily think I would call them characters. Well, a couple of them are pretty characters.
They are full of character. So, will you come back? Maybe we could do a whole show with the characters.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
And Jeff isn't allowed to be here.
I happen to like Jeff.
I like Jeff.
So Jeff has to come too.
That's a lot of work.
Thank you, guys. That's lovely. all warm and fuzzy.
Aw. Yeah, no, seriously. So will you come back? You did answer.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
It's not like you beat me this trip. I mean, why wouldn't I come back?
I don't know. Right?
Of course, brownies would be nice next time.
Brownies?
Oh, yeah, we don't have
all right.
Okay, we'll make you some
cookies or brownies or something,
All right. Okay. We'll do that.
A little bait pile. I'm easy.
I like that. We need a bait pile.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics, Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.